resurrection joy. In Psalms chapter 16, verses 1 through 11, the Bible says, "Preserve me, O God." And this is a very good prayer to pray, especially today. "For in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." That means I don't have anything good to attribute my life that's credited to me. All the good comes from him. "As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor will I take up their name on my lips." You know, culture tries to change the course and the cause that, you know, we've been taught that Jesus is the way. And sometimes they suggest that there are many ways. But today should remind us and reaffirm to us that Jesus is the only way. Verse number 5, "O Lord, you are my portion, the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." Let me stop and pause right there, because a lot of times people get concerned about their body. And I'm going to share with you by God's grace today about your body, because, you know, there's a lot of sick people in San Antonio. There's a lot of hurting people in America. And as you read the statistics and keep up with the mortality, too many younger people are dying. Too many younger people are disabled or diseased and debilitated. So a lot of times we're concerned about our aches and pains. And here David, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, "My flesh gets hope now." Why? Listen to this. "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol." King James uses the word hell. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. For you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And we often say, blessed are those who believe and receive the power of Jesus' cross, death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brings three prominent things into our lives, even today, April 9th, 2023. Healing for our past. Where can you get that other than Jesus? No matter how bad things have been, or perhaps no matter how bad you have been experiencing life, there's healing for your past. And then number two, there's help for your present circumstances or your situations that you may be going through. There's help for your presence. Because he rose from the dead and he lives, there's all kinds of help that you can have today and every day. So there's help for your present. And then number three, there's hope for your future, which is a big deal. When you think about it, there's a lot of people are on the edge of hopelessness and despair. They've given up on life. They think, what's good is it? We look at the suicide rates, the overdose rates. People are killing themselves. Why? Because they have no hope. But there's hope for an eternity and a future with God. Let's go back and look at a couple of verses, the first two verses, for just a moment here. It says in Psalm 16, verse 1 and 2, reading out a different translation now, the New Living Translation, it says, keep me safe, O God. Again, that's a prayer that we should pray. Keep me safe, O God. You know, during the pandemic years, a lot of people were scared, fearful, paranoid about a virus. But, you know, the devil's a mean devil. And he'll create and concoct things that will cause us to live life as a victim. But this is a good prayer. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. Refuge is simply a place of safety, a fortress, a safe house. And then he goes on to say, I said to the Lord, you are my master. Listen to this. Every good thing I have comes from you. Every good thing I have comes from you. Now, so friends, remember this on this Resurrection Sunday. I want you to see King David, the psalmist, prophetically utter and sing this spiritual poem and ode of Scripture. Both, he highlights the joy and the person of God, and he forecasts the resurrection eons before Christ was born. So in these two verses, he includes three different names for God. First, he calls God, keep me safe, O God. He's using the name Elohim, which means the powerful creator God. God, you created everything. Elohim, it's the first name mentioned in the Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, is he still creating? Yes, he is today. He hasn't changed. Scientists say the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. When he said, let there be light, light expands, and it's keep on expanding. He hasn't said light stop. Elohim is also the majestic name that means majestic ruler. That means the one who takes chaos and turns it into cosmos. He creates something out of nothing. Then he uses the word, I said to the Lord, which is God's covenant-giving, covenant-keeping name, which is called Yahweh. Yahweh. And it's the name that he gave to Jesus when he made him and exalted him as Lord. It said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it's using a covenant name, which has no vowels, so you can't hardly pronounce it. So you'd have to say like Yud-Heh-Hadveh. That's what it means, really. It's all consonants, no vowels. Yud-Heh-Hadveh, it means Lord God. We put vowels in it to pronounce it and say Yahweh. So when he said, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, some other religions purport Jesus as a good person, a prophet, little L, Lord, but not Lord God. So you could say it accurately this way, that Jesus is Lord God. He's equal to God now. He's been elevated to God status, exalted. human being who lived on this earth as the Son of God and stripped himself of all his deity privileges and got re-exalted and promoted back to God status. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And then he said, you are my master. So he said, God, Elohim, keep me safe. And I said to the Lord, Yahweh, and then he said, you are my master, means Adonai, the Lord and master of life. Now, what did David see in all these three names? It was to David, the names were the personal presence of God in his life. The words, my goodness, or everything good I have, speaks to David's welfare, not his character. That means, God, you take care of me in grand style. And then when you look through David's vantage point and view things as the Father God revealed to him, he saw that the God was still good, he's still faithful, he's still the same glorious, wonderful, good God today. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 7, whatever good and perfect gift is coming down from us, from God the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens and never changes or casts a shifting shadow. In Psalms 100, verse 6, it says, the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to every generation. Isn't that good? And David went down in that psalm and proclaimed prophetically that one of his descendants, the seed of David, was going to sit on his throne and experience the resurrection. Psalm 16:10 says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol or Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now, this word Sheol, Hades, or the word means the world of the dead or grave, hell. It's a pit. It's the underworld. Now, I want to show you a little illustration so you can remind why the resurrection is so important. Because Jesus came to die for our sins because we all were destined here to the underworld. So if you guys can put the chart up. And many of us, you know, we know we exist on earth, but there is an under the earth that exists as well. You know, Jesus, our Lord and Master, taught more about hell than any other person in the Bible. But it wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and his fallen angels, cohorts. But unfortunately, people don't shun hell and gain heaven. They're on a course to hell because they haven't received the gift from heaven. The gift from heaven is Jesus. So if you can probably make out some of these, there's five compartments. Number one is the prison for fallen angels. It's called Tartarus. So this Tartarus here is where angels who had fallen and been so criminally bad back in the day, this is back before we were born or back during the Old Testament time frame, they got locked up. See, the underworld is like a prison system. It's like a penitentiary. And it's a serious death sentence there. Now, the second compartment, the Sheol, the hot side, what we call is hell. At the physical death, all unsaved, unredeemed men and women enter there. So they go to hell, the hot side, which is a side where what happens? It's like going to prison. You got arrested, and now you're getting ready to get charged. But you're holding in a prison. Because people think, well, when I die, what happens? You don't cease to exist. You're going to go up or you're going to go down. Now, before Jesus came along and was raised from the dead, on the cool side, people had to go to paradise. And on paradise side, commonly referred to as Abraham's bosom, Abraham's bosom was a place of comfort for the godly redeemed dead before the cross and the resurrection. Because they couldn't go to heaven because Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead yet. That's why we said in the beginning, these 3 days and three nights, Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension to heaven means that these people now get to go to heaven. Just like everyone who dies in Christ today gets to go to heaven. So he let captivity cap day was in prison. So, because all of us have one thing in common. It's called a S-I-N problem. S-I-N. Everybody say sin. So we all had to, we couldn't cure it. We can't fix it. Only one person did. Jesus Christ. So now he made a pathway for us to go to heaven. All right. This third, one of the other compartments is the bottomless pit. Now, after the church gets out of here and we come back after 7 years, Satan will be bound there 1,000 years. And don't worry, we won't be going in there or dealing with that. That's all the devil. The bottomless pit. And then there's the final place, which is over here, which is called the Lake of Fire, a name called Gehenna. But this is currently empty, but it will accommodate all who rejected Jesus and who rebelled against Christ. It is the final eternal punishment. The Bible calls it torment, unquenchable fire, worm does not die, outer darkness, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the beast, the false prophet, sinners, dogs, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, liars, those who are unrepentant and rejected Jesus will have to spend eternity here. Now, it's a lake. That means it's lava, hot lava, you know, very hot fire. Eternal, what we call death, eternal damnation. Everybody say, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. This is the big deal. See, that's why David got happy. He said, you will not leave me in Sheol. In this case, he was over here in paradise. Neither let allow your Holy One to see corruption. That means his whole body would rotten and ruin and decay. Now, Jesus was raised bodily from the dead. Amen. And so he's talking about the Holy One. He's talking about Jesus' future resurrection. So Jesus is Lord over all death and all its phases. All of us have dealt with and have to deal with spiritual death. That is separation from God. We're born spiritually dead because of what Adam did, but we had to be born again because of what Jesus has done. Spiritual death just simply means separation from God. His life, his presence, his power, his peace, his protection, and his provision. Then there's physical death. Sickness is a form of physical death. Until you die permanently, physically, there's a slow death process. From the time we're born, I'm looking at this handsome young man down here, little Marcos. By the time he's born, you know, we get what? Older. We're going toward the grave. Physical death. It's appointed, the Bible says, for all people once to die. Once you're dying physically. But there's hope for those who died in the Lord. And then there's eternal death. We just pointed that out to you right here. That means in eternity without God, without hope. But Jesus is Lord over death and all its faces. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Jesus Christ, as we remember today, and as we take communion, we have to remember He died our death. His blood, his body represent what he did. He died our death. He was our substitute. He was our sacrifice. He was punished for our sins and transgressions, past, present, and future. He paid the price. He suffered hell and the grave for us in for 3 days and three nights. Where did Jesus go when he died? He went down here. He paid our price like a prisoner. But Jesus, God raised him from the dead. He suffered. And then when the claims of eternal justice were satisfied, God, by his mighty power, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So Jesus just wasn't overcoming rigor mortis, ladies and gentlemen. He just wasn't turning cold and said, he's overcoming rigor mortis. Jesus overcame rigor mortis. No. He 3 days and three nights, he was cold, crispy. His body was dead. He overcame death. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now listen to this in Hebrews 1st chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Insomuch that as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, for he himself shared in the same, that through his death, we might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He destroyed him. See, the master controller of fear and death was the devil. But Jesus destroyed his power over death. Why do you think Satan can't just kill you as you drive into work down 410 or I-10 or 1604 or 151? Why can't he just have somebody drive up to your house and put a gun bullet through your head? Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Destroyed him at the power of the death. That is, and it released those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now let's go and look at this purpose of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, that you also received, in that which you stand, in that which you are saved, if you hold fast the words I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Everybody say, don't believe in vain. All right, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's huge, ladies and gentlemen. So your sins needed to be taken care of. And we couldn't pay the price, no matter how long you work and how much overtime you make. Can't pay for it with gold, silver, money. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, that Peter, and then by the 12, the rest of the disciples. And after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, and was born as one born out of due time. Now let's skip down to verse 12. Now Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead. Now pay attention here. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, that what happened back in Jesus' day happens today. People say there's no resurrection. They think they're still under the dominion of the devil, and the death will reign, and we're all going to just die and cease to exist. The Bible doesn't teach reincarnation. It's resurrection. The Bible says to us, blessed are those who make the first resurrection. Everybody will be resurrected, either to life or to death. But make the first one. Don't wait for the second one. Second one's not good. And he says, goes on to say, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So if there's no such thing as a resurrection, then Christ didn't rise. Then we're celebrating his day in error. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's stop right there, because in verse 12 it tells us again, but tell me this, since we preach Christ rose from the dead, why do some saying there will be no resurrection from the dead? Now, some people, unfortunately, treat the Bible arbitrarily. They take parts they like and reject others. Now, I've been a pastor for a few days, and I've done funerals, and people want to wish and think, where are they? And sometimes in a natural mindset, you think, okay, they're just not there anymore. Well, they're somewhere. Why? Because the whole centerpiece of the gospel is he died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the centerpiece. That's the starting point of the gospel. Amen. And Paul is telling us, if God's words is the authority, then we must believe and receive it, all of it. Even the stories, even the accounts, even the teachings, which seem difficult to understand. Don't treat the Bible arbitrarily. So we talk about what glorious distinguishes the gospel of Christ from other faiths and other literal and physical resurrection, the literal and physical resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord himself. What distinguishes us from any other faith, any other religion? The physical, the literal resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was seen of Paul, Peter first, and then of what? The other 12. And then who? James and all the other apostles, over 500 people. And Paul says, I saw him too. I saw him with a body. I saw him raised up. That's what this day is about. That's what this whole thing is about. Dr. Tony Evans says this way, the resurrection places Jesus Christ in a class by himself. It makes him unique. That is the basis of the uniqueness of our faith, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact Jesus' resurrection is monumental and its implications are so all important for both our temporal and eternal well-being. Romans 4:25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins. Hello. Come on in. He was raised to life to make us right with God. He was handed over to die because of our sins. Why is there a cross? Because you and I were born as sinners. Why was he raised from the dead? So we didn't have to die in our sin. We could be born again. Amen. Friends, let me tell you something. If Christ Jesus is in a grave somewhere in the Middle East, then Christians are still in their sins. Then why are we doing this? Amen. and our burden of sin is no longer on Jesus, our Lord, but on us. So guess what? When we stand before God, when all of us go home, when all of us cease to exist, we breathe our last breath, what happens? We stand before God, and God says, this is what you did from the age of, let's just say, 8 or 10 or 12, from the age of accountability, from 10 to the time of your life, every single sin. That's how big it is. That's how bad it would be if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead. We'd have to go and give an account for everything we done, everything we said, everything we thought that was wrong, unholy, unrighteous, all the way up until our last breath. Now, who can deal with that? Nobody can deal with that. Who has taken care of that? Everybody say Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 16, and 17. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. Think about being guilty of all of the things you've done since the time when you knew right from wrong. 1 Corinthians 15, 18. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Think about your grandmother, great-grandmother. Perhaps your grandfathers, great-grandfathers, that when they gave their heart to the Lord. And yes, we cried at the funeral. And we miss them. But think, they died in their sins if Jesus did not rise from the dead. If resurrection is a lie, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, then Christ's promise for the future is a mockery. If Christ is not raised, Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, then believers who have died in Christ have perished and are lost and are eternally ruined. So, in other words, if there is no resurrection, there is no gospel. Like we said, the starting point, the centerpiece of our Christian faith is right here. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's no resurrection, there is no good news. Because when you have good news, it says, well, you know, I'm struggling in life, but there is a Savior and there is a future. In Jesus. Everybody say praise the Lord. Now let's talk about resurrection past and resurrection future for just a moment. In Acts 2:29, Peter by the Holy Spirit is prophesying on the day of Pentecost. And he says this, dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself when he said, when he died and was buried and his tomb is still here among us. He's telling them, David died and his body's still here. But Jesus isn't. Keep going. Next one. Next verse. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. What's his name? Jesus. All right. And then David looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. And he's saying that God would not leave him among the dead, nor allow his body to rot in the grave. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. And God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Hallelujah. Friends, Jesus was not raised as a ghost and some kind of vapor. He inhabited some type of physical, he inhabited the same physical body in which he was living on the time of the earth. You know, he told that to his brothers, that he had a glorified and transformed body. Look at Luke 24 through 36. Luke 24, Luke 24, 36. Now this I say, these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Now where did Jesus come from? Now with a glorified body, he was able to walk through walls. Wouldn't that be cool? To walk through a wall? Whoop, here I am, guys. Now somebody said speed of light, but some references say the speed of thought. You can say, I want to go there. And you get there. And you go, whoop, here I am. He said, peace be to you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposing they had saw a spirit or a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone. Everybody say flesh and bones. Now where's his blood? His blood's already shed. His blood's already been shed on the cross. As you see, I have. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, when you have seen this, you show that he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did, not believe for joy and marveled, they said unto him, have you any food here? Then he ate something. So you have gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. Everybody said, that's good stuff. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, some people believe, well, Jesus died, but his spirit got rescued and put up to heaven. No, he died and his body was glorified. And he's raised. Well, he's giving us an indication of, just like I'm my body, your body will be glorified. Everybody say, praise the Lord. All right, one couple more scriptures, then we'll close here. Everybody get something out of this today? All right, John 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same evening, being the first day of the week. Everybody say, first day of the week. That's Sunday, right? Didn't we say that's Sunday? That's when he rose. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembling for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. How did he get there? Walked through the walls. Isn't this good? And he said to them, peace be to you. And he said that, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw what? The Lord. And so Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. So our future will be glorious transformation of our bodies as well. Now, I would venture to say in the balance of this year, from January 1st through April 9th today, perhaps many of us, or maybe all of us, have experienced some sort of pain, discomfort, or problems in our bodies. But that's not going to be anymore once we get raised up with Jesus. Isn't that good? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 15, verse 20. Listen to what it says here. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Everybody say, Jesus is the first, but not the last. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one to his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. Everybody say, my body's going to change. Job chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, he says, yet in my body I will see God. Everybody say, I will see God. In my body. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26:19 says, but those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. For your life-giving life will fall like dew upon your people in the place of the dead. Now listen to Daniel 12:2. It says, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. So blessed are you when you make the first resurrection. Now let's turn back to go down to verse 51 and 54 through 54 of Corinthians. It said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, what is a twinkling of an eye? Any of you math science guys in here? Tell me, what's the measurement of a twinkling of an eye? GE measured it one time, or tried to measure it. It's 1/11,000th of a second. Everybody say, that's real fast. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, before you can blink your eye real good, you gone, you transform. He said, we will be changed. Woo, glory to God. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Better be ready for that trumpet, right? For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Everybody say, glory to God. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. So then this will be, so when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, it shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? So the past resurrection of Jesus and the future resurrection of the born-again believers and Christ followers stand as anchors of our Christian faith and hope. What is anchoring your hope today? You know, Paul said in the last verse I'm going to give you today in Philippians 2:20 and 21, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ is just not a historical figure. He is Lord of all right now. And he lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious body like his own, using the same power which he, with which he brought everything under his control. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, guests that have come today, thank you for coming. Resurrection is a historical fact to be celebrated. It is a future event to be anticipated. Why do we live today? You should be driven not by fear, not by guilt, not by greed, certainly not by money. Your life should be driven by eternity. This life prepares me for the next life, where I will live forever, either with Jesus and with the Lord or without him. It is a current reality to be experienced. So you can have resurrection life and a risen Savior today. Now, would everyone stand with me, please, just for a moment? And